Well, amen. He is a great God. There's no doubt about that. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, if you'd look with me to the book of Genesis and chapter 9, Genesis chapter 9, we've been studying the life of Noah here on Wednesday nights, and we've gone through quite a bit of what God has revealed to us about the old world, the world and the civilization that once occupied this planet for some 1,700 years before God destroyed it all. And He destroyed it all with a flood. Everything that was upon the planet up to that point was completely wiped out, destroyed. And we don't know exactly how far along man was on earth as far as technology, what they had, how many. As we look back and we have the genealogies, we know that there was the earth was very heavily populated at that time. It wasn't like it was just a few thousand or a couple thousand, 10,000. It was more like a possible billion people from the genealogy that has been given to us. Prior to the flood, I know it was 1,700 years of reproduction on the earth, and so that would have been. We just don't know. God did not choose to reveal that to us, so evidently we don't need to know that. But what we do need to know is that God judged the world, and the world had been left to itself, and being left to itself, it went a wrong direction. It was not the direction that God wanted humanity to go. It was not the direction He wanted even the animal life to go. And so God destroyed man and animal and everything off the face of the earth. But He saved Noah because Noah was righteous. Noah was the one that was still calling upon the name of the Lord and his family. And so we studied that. We studied how God worked through Noah. By God's grace, He saved Noah. And after He destroyed the old world and Noah was there on that ship for a year and 10 days, he was on the ark. And now all the floodwaters have left, and God has prepared things for a new beginning. And there would be a new beginning with Noah. And we studied here recently just the sign that God has given to us since that time that didn't have it before, and it will continue to be with us until God destroys the earth with fire and the final destruction of the earth. And there will be no more humanity. There will be no more earth. We will be living with God in heaven, and there will be an eternity for us. But until that time comes, then He's given us prophecy of that. But there's the rainbow that God's given to us, to Noah, first of all, and to his family, when they would look up into the sky, that they would have this peace about knowing that God's made a covenant with humanity. And He has the promise of God that He will not destroy the world again with a flood. And the covenant was to help us to remember that God did and He will judge sin. Amen? And one of the most important things, a rainbow, it reveals the reality of the judgment upon the world and how the world had changed. Now we have the rain. There was not rain on the earth before the flood. It was totally a different type of a atmosphere. Man lived a lot longer before the judgment on the flood, and we see all the different things there. We've studied all that. I'm just kind of giving you just a little bit of information to bring you where we're at today. But then God gave us the rainbow, and then after that we find that God had chosen Noah and his three sons to repopulate the earth. And it would be from all of the nationalities of the earth, they can all be traced back to three different beginnings, and that is the three male children of Noah. And from there, the earth was populated. The whole earth was overspread by Noah's children. And so we found that. We've seen that. And then after that, we've looked at something that we said last week, that if man had written the Bible, he would have left out. Because you don't want to mar your heroes. If man's writing it, you want to just kind of blot out all of the imperfections, and you want your heroes to stand out there and have someone to look to and have the goal of being like this man. And who would not want to be like Noah in the beginning? I mean, he had the blessings of God. He was strong enough to overcome all of the sin and temptations the world had to offer during the old world. And he remained faithful to God, and he raised his children, to all of them, to get on the ark. I mean, just so many victories in Noah and his children, and God has revealed that. But then God revealed what we started looking at last week, and Noah's great sin. Noah's great sin. And we somewhat compared that to David's great sin. Another one of the heroes of the faith. As we look to Noah, the same way as we look back to David, a shepherd boy who became king of Israel. A shepherd boy that was able to go up against the mightiest warrior the world had ever known to that point, Goliath. And he defeated Goliath. I mean, that was so powerful that even in our society today, even in secular society, they go back and they talk about the David and Goliath. In sports, you know, you find a small school coming up against a powerhouse and they said, this is another David and Goliath, you know. And so the whole world actually remembers that and has that story that God has given to us through David and Goliath. And so all the different things were taking place. And so, but Noah's great sin, God revealed it to us. That proves that God has written the Bible and He's preserved it for us. I think that, and we've seen last week, praise the Lord for that, because that helps remind us that none of us are above sinning. And we better take heed lest we fall. You know, if a man as powerful and strong as Noah, and I think of David, and even Solomon in his younger years, and then what he did later on in his life. So praise the Lord that we have that is a warning to us. And so we looked at last week some of the reasons behind that. There's never an excuse for wrong behavior, but there are some reasons. And Noah becomes a farmer, and he lowers his spiritual guard. Be careful when things change in your life. And, you know, it's thinking that you don't have need of prayer any longer. You don't have need of reading your Bible any longer. You don't have need of that spiritual food every day. And because, well, I'm not in the battle. I mean, the old world is gone. Noah's now, only him and his children are on the planet Earth. They don't have the battles that they had before. And Noah becomes a farmer. Quite different than what he was before. Quite different. And so some of the things leading up to Noah's great sin. So with all that said, let's go ahead and stand with me tonight. Look here in Genesis chapter 9. And we're going to be reading verse 20 down to verse 27 as we continue on Noah's great sin. Last week we looked at what led up to it, and now we're going to be looking at the great sin itself, okay? So God's recorded it for us to learn from, and I hope that we are ready to receive it, amen? I trust that you are there tonight. You're here. That's half the battle. Praise the Lord for that. But are you ready to receive what God has for you tonight? Amen. Oh my, only two or three, okay? How many are ready to receive what God has for us tonight? Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Tell yourself that. Tell yourself you're glad that you're in church tonight. Amen. Tell yourself this is where you need to be when you have opportunity to be here. Tell yourself there's nothing you can do about anything else going on in your life that will make more of an impact than receiving what God has for you tonight. You receive that, and that is going to better help you in dealing with the other things that you have to deal with in life. Okay? Praise the Lord for that thought. All right, Genesis chapter 9, verse 20. And Noah began to be a husbandman, which would be a farmer. And he planted a vineyard, and he drank of the wine and was drunken. And he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, cursed be Canaan. A servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you tonight, and we love you. Thank you, Lord God, for allowing us the opportunity to be in church tonight. And I think, Lord, thank you for each one that's here. And no doubt their presence here is an encouragement to every other person that's here tonight. And we can encourage one another just by being in church, and we can exhort one another. And I pray tonight, God, now as we have opened up your precious word in this study on the life of Noah, and we've come to this point, and I know that you have a message for each one here tonight through this, and I pray that each one be ready to receive it. Pray that you would empower the teaching and the preaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. So a lot going on here, and we'll get as far as we can tonight in this. We don't have too many more lessons out on the life of Noah, and then we'll be going into another Bible character series on Wednesday nights. But there's still a lot here to learn at the end of the life of Noah, some things that God wants us and has recorded for us to learn from. The first thing that I look at here in Noah's great sin is the idea of a vineyard. Noah becomes a farmer. He could have planted corn or wheat or beans or potatoes. But the Bible records that Noah planted a vineyard. Now, I think that's important for us to see what's taking place here and understand why. This is the first mention of wine that we have in the Bible. The first mention of it is found with Noah. Now, I don't believe it was the first time Noah had ever thought of wine. I believe this was something that would go back into his past experiences in the old world. And the old world, because they had been doing this for some time, 1,700 years of reproduction and 1,700 years of learning on what the ground would actually grow and what kind of fruits and vegetables and all the different things that would be taking place there. And we find that in the Old Testament, in the old world, that men started doing everything that they wanted to do, and their minds and their thoughts were evil continually. And so there's no doubt that Satan would have used alcoholic beverages in the Old Testament. I mean, in the Old World. And so Noah would have been aware of drunkenness. And no doubt the Bible says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. In the Old World, Noah would stand up and preach against alcohol. In the Old World, Noah would have stood up and tried to convince his family and preach against the wine. And he would have been preaching against all the different things that mankind are susceptible to and that Satan will use against us. The Bible says that we are not ignorant against Satan's devices. That means that he's the same devil today that he's always been. And once you learn of how Satan works against mankind, and once you learn how Satan has tempted mankind and how he has gotten mankind to fall into certain sins, listen to me, that will not change. We have the scriptures to help us to understand who Satan is and how he works against humanity. And if we study the things that God has revealed to us concerning how Satan has worked to destroy humanity, then we can learn from those things and make sure that we put up a guard against that which Satan has used in the past. Amen, right? I mean, no doubt, that's what's going on here. So now God is revealing to us the power that Satan had over this idea of alcohol. And we know that it was in the old world, and Noah, a preacher of righteousness, would have preached against it in his youth while he was fighting, while he had his guard up against the devil, while he was raising his children. All the different reasons why he was doing all these different things, and he understood that his testimony was so important to society. And as he was continually working on this ark that God had revealed to him, that would actually be that which would be used to save Noah and his family from the flood that was coming. So all these things, so Noah would have been preaching against that. But now things have kind of changed. The world had changed. The only ones on the world right now is Noah and his family. He doesn't have the opposition that he had before, physically. He doesn't have the drunkards around him. He doesn't have the immorality around him. All he has is his own family. And no doubt Noah, in becoming a farmer, starts dropping his guard. So we find here in doing that, first of all, again, the first mention of wine. And I wondered, why a vineyard? Noah, I mean, we're starting all over again, and everything is a new beginning, and surely you get your choice. You want to be a farmer, that's good, and you get your choice of what you're going to grow. Why a vineyard? Well, first of all, grapes have many good qualities. We find that possibly back in the beginning, in the old world, and even the beginning of the new world, grapes was something that possibly was used in many different ways. They have good qualities. Grapes are called, and I just researched this, found this to be true, but the grapes are called the queen of fruits. Anybody ever heard grapes being called the queen of fruits? And the reason they're called the queen of fruits is because they have numerous nutrients and antioxidants and minerals and vitamins which keep us healthy in all different areas. It can be used for the skin. It can be used for the mind. It's an anti-aging type of a fruit. It's good for the stomach. There's so many different things, and who would have known that? They would have known more about that even then, because they did not have the pharmacies that we have today. And so much of what he would have been doing was planting the things that was of the greatest necessity to sustain life. And one of the things that he chose would have been a vineyard, because of the good qualities. Matter of fact, Jesus chose the fruit of the vine to be used in the commemorating of the Lord's Supper. He would not have chose something that would not have been good for us. It was not alcoholic beverage. It was the fruit. It was the new fruit of the vine. It was grape juice. And he chose that to represent his blood, and he chose that to help us understand that this is good for you as well. But that's what he chose. There's probably more to that even than that, but that is a brief understanding of possibly why one of the reasons that Noah would have chosen to be to grow a vineyard. Grapes can be used for medicinal purposes. Now, Proverbs chapter 31, the Bible reveals a little bit of this to us. I think it was more important back then with prescriptions, medications today. I don't think there's much use for this today as there would have been in the beginning, and possibly what would have been in the old world as well, something that was good to start with, but what God gave us that is good and intends for good, Satan always wants to take that which is good and turn it into something that is used for evil. Such as we studied a little bit on the rainbow. That ought to help everyone to see that there's more going on in the world than what we can see with the naked eye. There is spiritual warfare going on. People that do not believe in God, people that do not even understand who Jesus is, when they're looking for a cuss word, they will pull out and use the Lord's name in vain. Why is that? They don't even know, but it's a spiritual warfare. It's Satan working to get them to curse the very God that created them. And the very Jesus Christ, the Savior, that gave his life and shed his blood to bring to them salvation. And yet, without even realizing it, Satan gets humanity to curse God. And we see all these things taking place. It is evidence of spiritual battle. It really is. And there is no more evidence than that than the rainbow. And we can't go back and study and teach that. But don't allow anyone to take away from you what God intended the rainbow to mean. Amen. And it's there for us. And it will be there for us until the end of the world. Amen. To acknowledge God. Well, grapes are somewhat the same. In Proverbs chapter 31... Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 4, it says, "It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink. And this is why, lest they drink and forget the law. They're talking about an alcoholic beverage type of wine, a fermented wine. Lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. So he relates this idea of fermented wine as somewhat that's used wrongly is going to cause much evil and be used for evil. And then he says, give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of a heavy heart. So we find that the strong drink was used to those that right before they would die. Today we find that those that are in a lot of pain and suffering, they're going to die, then they will just put them on some type of a prescription medication, morphine or something like that, so that they don't have to suffer through pain. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. If they're on their way out of this life and there's no hope of bringing them back and there's no sense of having them suffer any more than what they're already suffering. And so we take them to the hospitals, and because of the medication that we have today, and we have advanced so much in the prescription medications, they'll put them on a medication that will help ease their suffering. The process of dying is ugly. It was intended to be ugly. There's nothing precious about death. Death is the reality of sin. And the end of sin is death. It's ugly. It's ugly. And so if we can help alleviate some pain and suffering as people are dying, then there's nothing wrong with that. And so we find that in this day and age, or in that day and age, we look back and they said that this strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine a little bit less of a potency at that time to those of a heavy heart. So it is revealed that in some ways, they were actually using this for medicinal purposes. And so in order to be able to help the families and help those with different problems and health-associated illnesses possibly, then we find that grapes were a good thing. And they had learned, and he would have learned this from possibly the old world as well, with something that started out to be used for medicinal purposes. And then the idea, though, to produce it as an alcoholic beverage is what Noah used it for, which was his great sin. Proverbs chapter 23, the Bible addresses that. For those who want to use alcohol or even this fermented wine and preparing this wine for this type of use would be sin. To produce as an alcoholic beverage. The Bible says this about it. Proverbs 23 and verse 29. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? All these are results of alcohol. Who hath babblings? Who hath wounds without cause? Don't even know where they come from. Who hath redness of the eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine, not the fresh fruit of the vine, but something that has been altered. Look not upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright, when it's turned into an alcoholic beverage, is what he's talking about here. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thy heart shall utter perverse things. This is the results of this. This is what alcohol will do to an individual. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it. Yet again, because it's addictive, it will cause you to form an addiction to this. Wow. So we find here that even from the beginning, in the very first mention of wine, and it mentions a wine to show us even in Noah's great sin, it had to do with this alcoholic beverage. that was never intended to be a beverage, but had been used as a beverage. Alcohol promotes immorality. There's no doubt about it. Verse 33 says, "Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thy heart shall utter perverse things." They go hand in hand. Alcohol promotes the breaking of the law because you don't care about breaking the law. When you get drunk, when you allow alcohol to affect your mind and your reasoning, then you're going to do whatever you want to do, and you're not thinking about the consequences. Alcohol promotes abusive behavior. If I would have those raise their hands that have suffered at the hands of someone that was under the influence of alcohol here tonight, I guarantee you we would have hands go up all around this auditorium. Because it's something that Satan has used since the beginning of humanity. Old world, and now we find in the new world, one of the very first things that we mention, one of the last things about the life of Noah, but one of the first things mentioned about this new world is Noah's great sin. And it has to do with alcohol. Can I tell you, the social drinking is one step closer to drunkenness. There's Christians today that say, well, a little bit of wine's not going to hurt you, and they'll laugh about it, and they want to belittle the effects of alcohol, and they want to take away from how Satan has used it over the past to destroy lives. And do you really want to associate yourself with something that Satan has used to destroy people's lives? Do you really think that is pleasing to God to associate yourself and to use something that Satan has proven to be used over and over again throughout the history of humanity? God is not pleased with that. And yet today in our society, we think, well, a little social drinking is not going to hurt anybody and allows us to prove to everybody else that we can do certain things and we have liberties and all the different things. Listen to me. Do not buy into the lies of the devil. It is a tool that Satan uses to destroy lives. Social drinking is one step closer to drunkenness. If you never take that first drink, you'll never commit the sin of drunkenness. Galatians in chapter 5. Galatians in chapter 5. Verse 19 down to verse 20. That's what the Bible says about it. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, and right in the midst of all that, drunkenness associated with drinking alcohol, any alcoholic beverage. Revelings of such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Why? Because God is not for it. And someone that is given over to that and that continues that, listen to me, there's something wrong in your spiritual walk with God. God is not for that. And I believe that God has helped us by letting us see what led to Noah's families being influenced by Noah's great sin. And his great sin had to do with alcohol, wine. And he got drunk. Now go back there with me, Genesis. I'm not going to spend much more time on that. Understanding, though, that is there. That helps us to understand that with the other verses in the Scriptures. So we find here with Noah now, Noah has allowed this, possibly an influence that he received from the old world. He would have been the one that would have been more affected by the old world. He would have protected his children from that. But now, because he brought it into their lives, his own family will be affected by the sins of their father. Noah let down his guard, possibly thinking that no one would be affected by it. The Bible says, and he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered, but within his tent. There was more to that idea of being uncovered, and I don't know that we'll go into detail, but that was more to that. But the idea of it was he was in his tent. That tells me that possibly thinking wouldn't affect anybody else. No one else would be in his tent. Possibly same as Lot before his sin of incest. What happened? He got drunk. Use alcoholic beverage of wine before Satan used that to affect, still affecting Israel, God's chosen people today, of the children that was born out of that. And the children that are born out of Ham's sin affecting America today. The sin has affected the society that we live in today. And it will continue as we live in apostasy and we get farther away from the things of God and we go more toward the ways of man. It will become one of the leading sins of our day. Yeah. There is a devil. And even though you might be convinced that you can keep that sin hidden, Satan will exploit every sin. He will. He'll take it to the umpth degree to use it against the cause of Christ. He'll take it to the umpth degree to hinder you and your family and everyone else that wants to do right. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 41, Jesus instructing Peter, and he said, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." And Satan is going to try to attack us through our flesh. And if we are not walking in the spirit, then we will yield to the sins of the flesh. The idea here, if we are going to overcome the sins of the flesh, then we must continue to walk in the spirit. We must continue to pray as we have need to pray. We must continue to have a relationship with God and communicate with God and to let God speak to us. Somehow Noah got complacent. Somehow Noah had dropped his guard. Somehow Noah had said, "This is all, I've justified it. There's no one that'll find out about it." He commits this sin of drunkenness. I love what the psalmist writes in Psalm chapter 61. Let me just read it to you, write it down if you will, but it's a great psalm. The whole psalm, Psalm 61, leads up to this last verse. Psalm 61 and verse 8, the last verse of the psalm says this, "So will I sing praise unto the name, unto thy name forever." That's good. I'm going to praise God forever. What are one of the benefits of praising God forever? That I may daily perform my vows. Did you get all that? Now, if you read that whole psalm, it even has got a more powerful message. It'll help you understand it better. But basically, the psalmist says, it is important for me. If I'm going to perform my vows, if I'm going to live up to what God wants me to live up to, the standard that God wants me to live up to, if I'm going to be the Christian that God wants me to be, if I'm going to be the father, if I'm going to be the mother, if I'm going to be whatever it might be, if I'm going to serve the Lord, then I am going to have to praise God continually. I have to acknowledge God. Outside of strengthening your spiritual life, listen to me, the flesh will be overcome by the temptations and the temptations that Satan brings into our lives. Wow. Don't stop singing praises unto God. Don't stop coming to church. One of the most important things we do here is we together as a congregation, we sing praises unto the Lord. Don't just come in and just get through the song service. Don't just come in and get everything situated and do everything. Listen to me. When you come in, there is a message in every congregational that we sing here at the church. And I believe that Jeremiah is praying over the congregational songs that he's going to lead this church into that day, in that service of worship. And God knows exactly what he's going to present to us, not only in the preaching of the word of God. He knows what he's going to present to us if the special music has prayed up and they are going to sing the song that God wants us to hear. And if we are going to sing together the congregational songs, it has to do with singing praises unto the Lord. And if we don't sing praises unto the Lord, we will not fulfill the vows that we have to God. Don't think it's not important to be in church. Noah let down his guard. I trust it helps us to realize you can't do that. You can't let down your guard. Others were affected by Noah's great sin. Took back with me, Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9. Ham. 22. And Ham, the father of Canaan, which had been all the heathen that lived in the land of Canaan, that God had the nation of Israel utterly destroy because of their evil, ungodly behavior. Their immorality mainly, which also leads to Sodom and Gomorrah, which are descendants of Ham. They were also destroyed by God because of their immorality and their ungodly behavior. Where did it start? It's a new world. It started with the results, the consequences of Noah's sin. Ham, the youngest and most vulnerable to this type of sin. After we find that Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the neck of his father's more to it than that, and told his two brethren without, many believe that tried to convince them to do likewise, to dishonor their father. The Bible says, and when Noah awoke from his wine, allowing himself to get drunk, he knew what his younger son had done unto him. Too drunk to stop it, but he knew. Ham's actions were evil. We don't have to get into it. I think most adults here would realize what took place. And it was, the evil was acknowledged by two different things here, and we're done. First of all, the way Ham's other brothers handled the situation. I think they were appalled by what took place. And that's why they were blessed and Ham was cursed. But look at verse 23. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backward. They said, we are not going to give in to any kind of ungodly temptation. We are not going to let any of that affect our eyes. We are not going to. That's great. That's powerful. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And praise the Lord, because how they responded to that kind of immorality, how they responded to that kind of evil, helps us to see. We all ought to keep our guards up, and we all ought to respond likewise to the same types of immorality, ungodly behavior. The second thing that acknowledges how evil Ham's actions were was the curse that was given his family. Verse 25. And he said, cursed be Canaan. A servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. In closing tonight, Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. We must be aware of the consequences that could come from our selfish acts of sin. Compound with alcohol, and many believe that Ham would have followed, possibly saw his father drink alcohol and did the very same thing. Ham would have been under the influence when he yielded to such type of immorality himself, which started this in a direction that he wanted to continue to go. Let's think of the consequences that could come from our acts of sin. Before you commit that sin, stop and think about the truth that we fight spiritual battles, and Satan will exploit every opportunity that we give him. And every time we commit sin, we open the door for Satan to use it against not only you and your family, but against the cause of Christ. In Romans chapter 15, in verse 1, it says, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, not to please ourselves." When you're strong, you start looking to go beyond whatever the flesh wants to do. "Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification." God, use my life to edify others. "For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me." Then verse 4. "For whatsoever things were written aforetime," Noah, "were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." Can I tell you that God has recorded this, and he's recorded it for a purpose? And listen to me, there is a powerful message that each and every one of us need to learn from Noah's great sin and understanding how it impacted humanity and still is today. And Satan is still using that sin that come out of that to impact lives and nations today. Don't let down your guard. Do not give in to temptation. Think about the consequences and ask God to help you to overcome whatever that temptation might be. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed.